Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the third Monday of the month from 2 to 4, it must be Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. Cynthia, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You saw how excited I was announcing you.
Truly
is an amazing show to really help people, because people now need help in relationships. Not just intimate relationships, but any type of relationship.
Absolutely.
Especially with the economy going the way it is. People are stressing over finances. People are sadly losing their jobs. They can't find employment. I was at Wildflower Bread Company, one of my favorite restaurants, by the way. Ooh, a shout out. Maybe I'll get a gift card. Anyway, just kidding. They're really, truly good. But this guy came up to me and he said, you know, I've been trying to find a job for 2 years.
Wow.
I mean, that's got to be sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how does that work? I mean, 2 years, what do people do? Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
They live on unemployment, or they live on help from other people, or they live on savings or credit.
It's very, very,
very difficult.
Very tough. And, of course, today's topic really will help, I think, managing emotions. And then also we'll talk about relationships, everyone's favorite topic.
Right.
But managing emotions, that's got to be huge. Why don't you describe what this will be like for people?
Well, I think the main issue about managing emotions is, you know, so many times in my, I have clients that always want to say to me, I just don't even want to have feelings. I just want to get rid of my feelings. And I say to them, you know, well, unfortunately, that's impossible. So there is no way to not have feelings.
That's right. We
need to learn how to manage them, because the better that we manage our emotions, obviously the better relationships are going to be, and our life is going to go more smoothly. We're going to have less pain because we're going to know how to deal with pain. And then, and overall health also. We know there's a lot of health issues that come with repressing and suppressing emotions.
You know, it's interesting what you said. You said people want to get rid of their feelings. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's interesting. What do you think they mean by feelings? Do they think it's like something that is not part of them and something they can't control? Is that why they say something?
Well, I think basically they just don't want the pain. And so if they could have happy feelings all the time, then nobody would be saying that.
Right.
But, you know, it's the feelings of anxiety or hurt or disappointment, discouragement, upset, you know, anger, irritation, all these kinds of feelings that people have a tendency to say, oh, I just don't want to feel anymore. It's too hard.
Yeah, because they... Is it usually a skill set? Like, is there a way to I guess that's what we're going to go over.
Right.
Is how to manage feelings and how to take control of your life again, rather than people thinking feelings control them.
Right.
This is a good topic.
That's right. And many times I say to people, you know, you need to stop being a victim to your own emotions.
Absolutely. I want to stay for this show. Oh, wait, I am here. But this is so valuable, because I suspect if people learn how to manage their emotions, whether it's anger, hurt, frustration, like you said, and a whole host of other feelings, life would be much better.
Yes.
Despite
That's right.
the circumstances.
That's right. Because one of the things that I like to give people little sayings, because it helps to simplify complex, you know, concepts. And so one of the things I say to people is, I want you to memorize this saying. There is either pain in vain, pain for gain, but there is no such thing as no pain.
Oh, wow.
And
let's say that again. Pain in vain.
Yes, pain in vain, pain for gain, but there's no such thing as no pain.
Wow, that's very good. No such thing as
right.
no
And I'm
pain.
Supposed to, and the social media person I'm working with continues to tell me I'm supposed to say on the air things like, this is proprietary information, so it can't be reproduced.
This is,
so what they're getting, these are parts of going in this book that you know that we're working on.
Oh, yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. Well, that makes sense to announce that. That's very good. So pain in vain, pain for gain, but there's no such thing as no pain.
That's right. So in this world, we are going to have pain. So I either can have that pain be for gain, which makes me a person, a more substantive person, someone of depth, a resilient person, a person with wisdom, or I can just have pain in vain, which means that I just survive it, get through it, and I become more fragile. I become more unidimensional, and I also become more susceptible to pain because then I don't manage it well.
Yeah.
So then things get more painful.
So it's interesting. A lot of people hear about pain management, but they think mm-hmm. of drugs. But I suspect we're talking about how you can do it from the mindset.
Absolutely.
And I think this is going to be incredibly valuable. But I like that. Pain in vain, pain for gain, no such thing as no pain except it does rain in Spain. No, isn't that a song? Tom, what song was that? Right? Remember that?
Okay, you're taking us off track.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
It was Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was a good one. Okay, so let's get moving on this one. So let's start with what are feelings?
Right. So this is very helpful because it's a lot of times we don't understand really what feelings are. And one of the first things we want to realize is that they are the basic unit of the human experience. So they are unavoidable. This is part of being human. And so there is no way around not being an emotional person. You know, you can look at people and say, wow, that person's like Spock. Well, then they're suppressing and repressing a great majority of their identity because our feelings are a big part of our identity. That's why they're so personal to us. And so it's very important to understand, I need to stop fighting being human. So this is part of the basic human experience. If I don't do my feelings well, then I don't experience my life like I can.
Now, there's some men and women out there, and I'm going to guess here that maybe more women listening and going, see, I told you, and they're looking at their husband, you don't express your feelings. That's what I'm guessing. It just popped in my mind. But is it possible that people can express feelings differently?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a very unique, that's a part of our emotional makeup. But what we need to do is learn how to do our feelings in a healthy way.
Okay, so
that's good. So I need to express them in a healthy way, whatever that way of mine is. So we know that there's a difference between healthy and unhealthy, you know, expression of feelings.
And give us some examples of some, just in case people don't quite understand that, healthy ways of expressing feelings and unhealthy ways.
Well, a very healthy way of expressing a feeling would be not attacking the person. So it would be being able to say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I need from you. Even if I'm having the feeling in a very big way, even if I'm very demonstrative, I'm not taking it out on the person. I'm not exploding on the person, I'm not blaming the person, or I'm not giving it my feeling to the person wanting them to fix it for me.
So you answered that question with the same answer, because you gave the example
right.
of healthy and unhealthy at the
right.
same time.
That's right.
Give me knuckles. That was really nicely done. So not attacking would be a healthy way. Attacking would be unhealthy.
That's right.
And an example of attacking, like you said, it's not blaming.
Well, it's name calling.
Yeah, name
it's,
calling.
It's, you know, not having my emotions in control. It doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to have emotions. But if I'm yelling and screaming at the top of my lungs and using expletives and name calling, then it's going to be very impossible to have any healthy communication.
How about shutting down in the middle of communication? Mm-hmm. That'd be unhealthy?
Yes. You know, shutting down would be unhealthy, but taking a time out isn't
that's different.
That's a healthy way to deal with emotions, especially if they're highly volatile within the relationship.
So shutting, can you distinguish the difference between shutting down and a time out externally?
Well,
internally,
shutting down is, I'm shutting down. I can't. There's no communication going. So I'm not willing to express anything, or I say something like, fine, I'm fine, okay, whatever. Those kinds of shutting down types of things cut off all communication. If I say to somebody, I think that I'm going to be losing control of myself, or I can feel myself really escalating, I need to take a time out, or I'm getting very, very hurt and I need to think about this for a minute. I need us to stop and so that I can take a breath. So I need to come back and talk in 10 minutes.
Okay, that's a healthy
right.
way. Wow, these are good lessons for couples. Because
absolutely.
Would you say, I don't know if this is a fair question, but I guess a great majority of relationships, if they knew this, they'd be better relationships.
Well, that's what we're doing today
yeah.
because that is the better my emotional management is, the healthier my relationship is going to be. Because it means that I'm using my emotions to enhance the relationship and the experience of the relationship versus my emotions being something that somebody's needing to deal with on an ongoing basis.
I like that, emotional management. I mean, people manage their finances, they manage their household, they mm-hmm. manage all sorts of things, but the one thing they always forget usually is their emotions. Maybe
right.
they didn't think they... it was possible, perhaps.
Well, I think the main reason is we learn to manage or not manage our emotions when we're growing up. Mm. So we learn how emotions are expressed or not expressed through our parents.
Oh, they're as
the
role models.
Yes, the way our families work or the culture that we grow up in. So, you know, you have that famous movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. You see two cultures, yeah. How they very differently express emotions. And some of the way that both of them express emotions can be healthy. Some of it was not healthy, but they're still very different.
Very different.
And so that's how you learn is the family and the culture that you grow up in.
Very interesting. Now, what's the difference between emotions and thoughts?
Well,
or
let's,
is there
let's,
a difference?
Let's get through what feelings are first.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're still on feelings.
Yes. Yeah, we have got a lot of explanation about understanding what a feeling is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So when we're looking at feelings, one of the things that helps people is they have to be able to identify what they're feeling. And many times people can't identify what they're feeling. So we give them four basic feeling realms or groups. Sad, mad, glad, scared.
Sad, mad, glad, scared.
Scared, right. Sometimes confused. Oh. But confusion is many times a combination of a lot of feelings.
Really?
Yes. So one of the things that helps is if I'm having a feeling and I don't know what it is that I'm feeling, if I ask myself, well, am I sad? Am I mad? Am I glad? Or am I scared? And what you'll find is that in those, there's a whole array of feelings within that group. So in the mad group, there's going to be disappointed, irritated, annoyed, frustrated, furious, enraged, right? All these different types of what mad is. In the sad column, there's going to be, you know, hurt, melancholy, despondent, despairing.
Grief?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Tearful, weepy, all of those.
And glad?
Glad, well, that would be pleasure. Happiness, joy, contentment,
lottery.
Peace. Yes, lottery winner. We'd have to say.
And then I'm
otherwise just the lottery could be in the mad group.
I'm skipping to confusion where I am. Okay, so and then they're scared.
Right, and scared would be things like anxious, worry, upset, fear. You know, trembling. All these types of things.
So these are where you really start. To identify which of these categories.
Right.
Can you have more than one category at one time?
Well, usually adults do.
Oh, really?
It would be wonderful if we could have one feeling at a time, but that's pretty much impossible for an adult.
Really? How is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. Can you just be happy?
Tom, am I just happy? Sometimes.
See, it can be the main feeling, but understanding that if you look at the whole array of your life, there's probably one thing over here maybe is a little disappointing, one thing over here that is kind of irritating, another thing over here that kind of worried about. But overall, I'm pretty happy today.
But is that part of managing your emotions?
Right. Is understanding all of that.
And isolating
that's
it
right.
to one.
That's right. Or at least being able to talk about it, communicate it, express whatever feelings you're needing to express. There may be some feelings I don't need to express.
Now, you did say for adults it's very hard. Does that mean that kids can do it?
Well,
one feeling?
Generally, have you known a toddler?
Yeah,
they pretty much have one feeling at a time. And as soon as they're over their feeling, then they go to the next feeling. I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
How they learn that?
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be good.
Yeah. Well, they grow out of it. They get more complicated. This is what happens when humans grow up.
They start attaching meaning to many different things.
Right. Well, and they just start to be able to manage more. They expand in their developmental process.
That is interesting. That's fascinating.
So when I see a very immature adult, many times that's what you will see.
They are
in one feeling, and they can't move to the next feeling until they deal with that feeling.
Really?
Right. Well,
so let's put stuck in here.
Right. So you've probably experienced some very immature adults. And when they're mad, everybody's going to know they're mad. And they can't get on to their next moment until they get over their mad feeling.
Wow.
Just like toddlers do. Everybody knows how a toddler feels.
And that doesn't work when you're older, does it?
Well, not very well, but there's a lot of people that do it. And the people that are around them have to learn how to try to manage that. So they get a lot more feelings that are uncomfortable because of having to deal with that person.
So you're saying you may have to not just manage your own feelings, but manage other people's feelings.
Well, you don't manage their feeling, but you manage the feelings that maybe you get from being around them.
It's like a double management situation.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, it's incoming and outgoing, and it's what's outside and what's inside.
Yeah, that's right. I do see couples saying, incoming now, here's the angry, we better get ready to...
And see, it helps when you're working with someone, if you know that something's bothering them, they say, I don't know, nothing. You can say, you look angry, or you look disappointed, Or you might say, are you worried about something? Because you're using these different feeling groups to see what they may be feeling and helping them identify it.
Yeah, and some people just don't have any awareness. Right. It's just so embedded, I guess. Mm-hmm. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt, star of Match No Match. We're talking about managing emotions. This is huge, and I suggest you listen very intently, and we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt, the third Monday of every month from 2 to 4. We've been talking about managing feelings, a huge topic, very important whether you're in a relationship or not, because really the truth is managing your feelings. So you could be going solo, you still got to manage your feelings.
Exactly.
Hey, I catch on.
That's
pretty good.
That's very
here.
Good. That's very well said.
I always impress Cynthia at least once during the time, Tom. All right, now we're talking. I love this. So what are we've been talking about what feelings are. A little summary, four basic feelings: sad, mad, glad, and scared. Sometimes confusion, you said. So let's talk about, is there anything else more you want to elaborate on
No, I think that's great, because the main thing is to realize that it's identifying the feeling. I need to be able to identify my feeling in order to know how to manage it and in order to know how to communicate it.
So you need to know it's there mm-hmm. so you can manage it. That makes sense. Now, I like what you have here. I really believe in this. All feelings are okay. They're neither good or bad. They just are. I know some great spiritual people talk about a state of equanimity, mm-hmm. and it really is the same thing you're saying. It's just sort of neutral. And the truth is, in NLP, they talk about that. Really, everything's neutral except the meaning you put on it. Does that make sense?
How you
attach a meaning to something can give it power or not.
I'm not sure. I think that's there's a little bit of depth in that we're missing. I think we would need to tear that up a little bit. So that would be maybe another really good show.
Okay.
Because that includes absolutes and relativity and morality
right.
and all kinds of things
gotcha.
That we would have to talk about with that statement.
That would be a good show,
yes.
though.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
It really would be.
It sort of parallels a little bit
mm-hmm.
where it's neutral.
Absolutely.
And I think that was what I was thinking of, is that if all things are neutral, where do feelings they're generated? I'm guessing that it's what you perceive as something neutral, but you don't make it neutral. You make it...
No.
Or how would you describe that?
No, because,
that?
See, feelings are. And
yeah.
so I can't make a happy feeling neutral or a mad feeling neutral. Okay, they both have energy, and they both are physical sensations in my body. And
okay.
so they're not... I can't, otherwise, see, you can make thoughts neutral. I guess we could go there.
And maybe that's
right.
more appropriate what I was
right.
talking about. I got
right.
you. Because as I read that again, I see what you're saying. They're neither good or bad. And that that's where I put neutral, but that's right. not really what right. you're talking about.
Right.
Good clarification, yes. more okay. knuckles for you. Very good.
So what we want to say when we're saying they're neither good or bad, the importance of this is we're not judging a feeling.
Gotcha.
So we're not ascribing. Here it is when you're talking about meaning. I'm not putting a meaning in that way. I'm not saying, well, because you're angry, you're now a bad person.
Right.
Or you're not a good Christian.
That makes more
okay?
sense. Yes.
And so, but the feeling itself is not neutral at all.
Okay, that's yes. a good clarification.
Yes, and so it's very imperative that we do not judge our feelings and that we don't judge other people's feelings because our feelings are a very big part of our identity. That's why it hurts so badly when somebody ignores your feelings or doesn't take your feelings seriously or judges your feeling. It hurts very deeply because it's who we are. It's not, you know, it's one thing to like judge a thought I have, you know, because I can argue that. But when it's my feelings, okay, that's my identity. And so it's very profound. So when we're dealing with managing feelings, for me, if I'm managing my own feelings, it's very important I don't judge my feeling. That I don't tell myself all kinds of judgments about me having the feeling.
Like, I shouldn't feel angry.
Exactly.
That type of thing.
Or I'm such a sensitive person, or I'm so ridiculous, or I'm so stupid, or I'm so...
And that's where the meaning
yes,
comes in.
Yes. And so it's really important that I just accept the feeling that I have, because that I did not choose that feeling.
How does it originate?
Well, it's a part of the human experience. And so it's a part of your subconscious, your unconscious, a part of just the depth of your identity, that a situation will occur... And you, however the workings are, a feeling is produced. Because it isn't something that we consciously choose. Now, I can consciously choose what I do with the feeling, and I can consciously choose many times to make the feeling last longer or to make the feeling bigger or smaller, which is when we're going to talk about management. That's what we learn to do. But the initial feeling just is.
So you could have two people side by side watching one event, and they can both have different opposite feelings.
Absolutely. Now, of course, that we're talking kind of esoterically. You know, if we have, because there are many events that are going to evoke the same type of emotion from humans. But whether they have it deeply, whether it's really big, whether it's really small, yes. But we do see that with people that like might be laughing or happy about a misfortune of somebody.
Right.
And another person that would identify more with a misfortune.
That's what I was thinking mm-hmm. when I said that. And that's interesting that, so it, when they have two different reactions mm-hmm. like that, is that partly upbringing?
Could be.
So it could be.
Could be a lot culture. Could be culture. A conscience issue.
So it's sort of learned.
A lot of times it can be learned.
Interesting.
And that's where ascribing meaning to a situation comes in.
Interesting.
And so when we're learning how to manage our feelings, one of the things I'm going to ask myself is, okay, if this person, the way this person just responded to me hurt my feelings. Okay, so now I identify that my feelings are hurt. I take that seriously. I accept it. I validate it. And then I'm gonna work on this whole issue of understanding the feeling.
Mm.
So why would I be feeling hurt? What is it about that,
gotcha.
That incident that actually hurt me? Does it remind me of something that happened in the past? Was I having an expectation from this person and they didn't fulfill the expectation? You know, there's several things.
So it could connect, and I may be going way out in left field here, but to self-esteem issues too.
Well, it always is. It's a part of who we are.
Yeah.
So yes, it's gonna have a lot to do with self-worth.
So that's why you can have one event, two people mm-hmm. looking at it, both reacting differently.
Right. And the self-worth issue, one of the reasons that the better I manage my emotions, which is a part of my identity, the better I'm going to feel about myself. Always.
Wow. Nice.
Yes.
And that's what people want.
Yes. And
ultimately,
the better I feel about myself, the better I manage the world that's coming at me and the world I'm living in. And I have much more resiliency and it won't be nearly as sensitive.
That is, that's a good goal. I mean, couldn't that be a goal for people to mm-hmm. really, you know, so many people have goals out there of wanting, you know, more money, more, you know, whatever it is. But wouldn't a good goal to be, how can I better manage my feelings? Wouldn't that be a great goal
mm-hmm.
for someone?
Absolutely.
How come people don't? They don't do that. They look at external goals or something or tangible goals.
Well,
or
first of all, we're not taught that. I mean, unless you come from a family that is a highly actualized family,
okay.
you know, or you have parents that have gone through a lot of emotional psychological work, then you just have people that are just doing what they're doing and they're living through it. And they're just surviving it and they're just doing the best they can. And they're not knowing that there's another way to do it.
And that's what the show is about, to give
yes.
awareness, because it's very educational, but very insightful and profound, too. the way you describe this, I have to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Right here, right now. And that's my feeling of appreciation. Is that one of the categories?
I'm in the happy category.
All right. And Tom's smiling, so that means something, too. Okay. So what else do we have about feelings? So we left off neither good nor bad. What you're saying, don't judge your feelings or judge other people's feelings.
Right. And one of the reasons this is imperative is it also cuts down on pain. See, if I'm having a hurt feeling or an angry feeling, that's not a fun feeling to have. So there's already some pain with that. Well, if I judge myself, I'm adding pain, which is going to further complicate me trying to manage it. If I judge someone else's feelings, I'm also creating more pain. Because I'm creating pain for them, I'm maybe creating pain for me, because maybe I'm taking their feeling personally.
Now, is it possible, so if someone judges a feeling, then it causes more pain, like you're saying, and then they feel guilty about judging the feeling, which causes more pain.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get angry that they even have the guilt that they use.
Right, exactly.
So it could stack on each other.
It just spirals, yes.
Wow, that could be
enormous.
Yes, it's
very exponential. Weight. This is why feeling management is so helpful, because it makes life less complicated and less tiring.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice.
And cleans up all my relationships so they're not as complicated.
Which is simplicity. It's got to be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Make it simple.
Well, because, you know, humans, we are very emotional beings, and we get emotionally tired, and then we don't want to feel any feelings, and we think we can just shut them off and stuff them and not feel them, and we get more pain.
So is the goal to start feeling them more deeply, the feelings, is that?
You want to feel feelings deeply and completely.
And describe how that is, what that means, deeply. I mean, so I assume there's some superficial feelings, or maybe you're talking about at least be aware of it so you can feel it. A lot of people suppress it
This is the issue that if I don't feel my feeling completely, deeply, it will recycle. It will come back. And so one of the examples I use, especially very helpful example in Phoenix, is I say, you know, driving down in Phoenix, have you ever put a bologna sandwich in the back seat of your car?
I have.
And what happens if you leave it there?
Oh.
Yeah.
A new car. Time for a new car, I think.
It gets nasty. Well, that's what happens with feelings. If I just throw them in the back and pretend like they're not there, they start to become toxic. And so I'm going to start knowing about that feeling maybe in a different way, because things are going to start coming out sideways for me. And I'm not going to be able to manage other things very well when I have repressed feelings.
And my guess is then if you repress them or suppress them, and I'll ask you the definition of that in a few minutes, what the difference of repressing and suppressing. However, if you do that, then people can misplace their feelings, explode on the smallest little thing, because they're all bottled up. They're like a ticking time bomb.
Right, they come out sideways. Like all of a sudden it's coming out on somebody. You know, this is why we get road rage many times. We've got people that are already upset about something, and it's that one thing that just sets them off, and that's the tipping point. And so when I have a lot of pent-up feelings that I'm trying to suppress, okay, or repress, that takes a lot of energy. And if I'm trying to hold that down, it's like trying to keep a lid on a boiling pot.
That's not easy.
No.
It won't work, in fact.
That's right, because it'll start to spill over and spill
or
out.
Or it'll explode.
Mm-hmm.
It could just...
Because it hurts a lot of people when things explode.
If
like
you're
that.
Near it.
Yes.
Oh. So... suppression and repression.
Yes.
What's the difference?
Well, I have heard it defined many different ways. The way that I use it, I say repressing a feeling means I've stuffed it and I don't know it's there anymore, or I'm ignoring it completely to the point that I've denied it and I don't even know it's there.
Mm.
Suppressing is a very, very healthy, necessary tool for emotion management. This is what adults have to do. Many times I have to suppress a feeling because it's not appropriate to express it at that moment. And so I suppress it. It's over here. I know where it is. And I'm going to go back and get it when it's appropriate, or when I feel like I got a better handle on it, or I feel like I understand it better. Then I'm going to express it.
See, you don't bury it.
That's right. That's,
you suspend yeah. it and you analyze
right.
it some other time.
That's right. Repression is I'm burying it.
That's very interesting.
See?
I like that definition. I've asked many people that. No one has ever said it as nice as clearly as you.
That's good. I'm glad. And so it's very imperative. You know, we go back to the idea of toddlers. But see, toddlers don't have the ability to suppress a feeling.
Or a repress, right?
Well, no. Well, that's yeah. Of course, they don't even have that. They would have to have choice. So they don't have the ability to get a handle on their feeling. They're learning how to manage the feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's what parents want to do, is help them learn to manage their feeling. So they are just expressing whatever they feel whenever they feel it. As I grow up, I want to learn to suppress the feeling before I express it. But what usually happens is people just repress it.
Or they won't suppress it. They'll just let it out
right.
all
so they
over
either,
you.
Right. They either do the toddler approach to emotion management, or they do the other dysfunctional approach, which is I'm going to suppress everything, and then it comes out sideways, or it attacks my body physically.
We should ask the listeners, do you have a toddler in your life that happens to be over 21?
Exactly.
Or even maybe teenage years?
Exactly.
That would be good to have people start to contemplate that. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt, the star of Match No Match, every Monday from 2 to 4. Not every Monday, every third Monday from 2 to 4. We're talking about managing emotions, suppression, repression, very important stuff.
Expression.
And expression. Okay. Oh, the three musketeers. We'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. And, of course, No is spelled K-N-O-W. I love that because,
yes.
I mean, that's what it is all about. Know yourself. By knowing yourself, you can know other people. But knowing yourself means managing your emotions.
That's
it
right.
has to be.
That's because it's a big part of your identity.
That is huge. Now, I really enjoyed this last segment where you talked about suppression, repression, and expression.
Yes.
So maybe let's talk a little bit more about that, because it sounds like it's a good communication tool at a minimum anyway, by being able to not react. And we were talking off there about suspending maybe some feeling. That's suppressing it, I suspect.
Right.
And then express what you need to express, but it takes out any negativity. It takes out it being your full communication being tainted by that suppressed feeling. Does that sound?
I think.
Okay.
I think
Tom, what do you say? He's not sure either. Now that I've confused everyone.
I think what we're trying to say is that when I suppress a feeling, I'm suspending it. It's hanging over here. It's sitting over here on the side.
And
it's
not
in the
affecting
back of my
your
mind.
Present moment.
That's right.
It's
now not energy that's coming into my interaction with another person.
Nice.
So it's not tainting that interaction. It's not affecting that interaction.
I'm jealous. You said it better than I did. Give me some knuckles on that one. That's three knuckles today. Make sure you keep score. Okay.
So part of the communication process and managing emotions, there are going to be some feelings I can't suspend, that I can't suppress. They're too big.
So anything like trauma.
Right.
Or
let's say, you know, I just found out that somebody got hit by a car, right? I'm not going to be, you know, if I'm in doing therapy and I get a call in between and I find out that something terrible happened, well, then I'm not going to be able to suppress that. I'm going to have to communicate that. Otherwise, when I'm interacting with clients, because I'm not wanting any of what's going on with me to taint that experience for them, I'm suspending and suppressing feelings all day. And then I'm waiting when it's appropriate for me to express whatever was going on with me at some point at the end of the day or to somebody or to the appropriate person, maybe in between sessions if I had to express a feeling that I'm going to call someone that's safe for me so that I can make sure that I get that expressed so that I have a handle on my emotional realm so that when I'm interacting with other people, they're not being affected by my lack of management of my own emotions.
Well, see, that's what makes you a great therapist because you're able to suspend or suppress or, you know, not have it taint that particular thing. I would suspect you probably have met therapists, and I've heard of therapists, I've met therapists, that it's like every little thing affects them, and then their advice or their therapy then gets filtered through these emotions,
which may not
be the best, right?
That's right. That's right. Or they begin interpreting whatever they're hearing through that, and we're going to talk about filtering in a little bit.
Oh,
so
good.
Yes. So, but the thing about this whole idea about suspension and suppressing, it's very important in my personal relationships or work relationships, whoever I'm working with, that if I can't suspend a feeling, then I communicate that. So I might say to spouse, a partner, significant other, family members, best friend, whatever. I might say, I can't pretend like we're okay. I can't pretend like things are okay, but I can't talk about it. It's too big. I need to have some time to figure out how I'm feeling or figure out how I want to talk about it. So I can't pretend like things aren't okay. So that means that I'm kind of suspending it in terms of when I'm going to express it, but I'm not suspending or I'm not suppressing it in a way that the person doesn't know what's going on.
Now, that's
good.
Because
that would be stuffing a feeling
and
pretending like it wasn't happening.
Now, let me ask you this. Some listeners are listening. I mean, they're taking this in so they can use it as communication tools or whatever. But I'll ask you this, but it's not okay to use it as a manipulative device of control.
Or to hijack a person's, you know,
I don't want to talk about it. Right. It's too big, but... And they never talk about it.
Right.
That's
very dysfunctional communication relating. Because what you want to say to the person is, I'm going to go work on this, and can you give me an hour?
Yeah. Now, the other person may be anxious, especially if the other person thinks it's about them.
Mm-hmm. Generally, you would clarify that. Okay.
So I
would say, if it's not about them, I would just say, listen, I'm really going to be okay, but I am not in a good place right now. And I can't pretend like I am, but it is not about you. You and I are fine. It has nothing to do with you, but I cannot talk about it.
Now, if it is about them...
Right, then I would say, you're going to have to give me an hour, or you're going to have to give me half hour, or whatever that is, so that I can go get a handle on myself, so that I can talk to you, because I don't have a handle on myself right now.
That's
smart.
So
it would be very unhealthy for me to communicate with you right now.
What a great way to communicate.
Be very afraid.
I'm getting a little nervous myself, Tom. What do you say? Come on in here, Tom. We'll switch. Okay. No, he's not. These are great communication tools, it sounds like
yes,
to me.
Yes.
It's in fact, I'm going to go and be so bold in front of Cynthia Hyatt right now. Say, these are imperative to have if you want a great relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit later as well in this whole segment about how specifically to communicate.
Oh.
In some of what we're talking about right now, yes.
I'm excited about that. So now feelings that have not been accepted and felt will recycle, right? In unproductive thoughts and behavior. So give us a couple examples of that, thoughts and behaviors. You may have done a little bit earlier, But what would be an unproductive behavior? Maybe throwing a dish at someone.
Right. Or road rage, like we talked about.
Yeah.
Things like, would be doing destructive behaviors like addictions, compulsive behaviors.
Drugs and alcohol.
I'm going to go overeat because I'm so angry, you know, or I'm so hurt, I'm going to eat, or I'm going to go drink because I have to calm down. I've repressed so many feelings that I just feel yucky inside and I don't have any idea why. And so I'm going to have to do a whole bunch of destructive behaviors to try to keep those down.
And that's where the self-esteem comes in. If you don't like yourself, then you may tend to do things that make sure you don't like yourself.
That's right. That becomes a negative cycle, right? It's like a negative feedback loop. Yes.
And if you're married to one of those people, how difficult is that?
Very difficult to relate to them and have any intimacy that's productive or healthy or fulfilling.
I bet a lot of people can relate right now to that.
It's very painful when you have someone that does not know how to manage their emotions at all. Because the biggest way that we have intimacy is expressing emotions and feeling emotions together.
Oh, my.
That's the biggest form of intimacy that we have. And that's why we know that laughing together and crying together are the biggest bonding agents you could have.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Actually, laughing is the biggest bonding agent.
Laughing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yes. Crying is a very good bonding agent, but it doesn't have the lasting effect that laughing does.
Laughing? Yeah, that makes sense. Because I've heard that it releases, endorphins or whatever?
All kinds of, yes.
So there's a lot of...
There's a lot of breathing that happens when you're laughing, which is you get really good oxygenation, I can't say that word.
Yeah, but I would have really botched that word.
There's a lot of really healthy things that happen with laughing and crying.
Wow.
And then we also know with crying that I have to tell clients all the time because they don't want to cry. And I say to them, they've done studies, when they've looked at people's tears, the tears that you have done produced because of grief or anger, versus the tear that happens because you have an irritant in your eye, the chemical makeup of those tears are very different.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the chemical makeup of a tear that is from grief or anger or upset or frustration, there's those chemicals, because you have to remember, as we're talking about, that feelings are created by many hormones. They are very powerful. They are physical sensations. And so when I cry, I'm releasing a lot of that hormone. If I don't, it's going to be inside of my body, and my body has to absorb it some other way.
Wow, that's fascinating.
That's why when we say cleansing tears, they really are.
Yeah.
Very cleansing for your body.
It just popped in my mind. Were we talking about, what was the name of that movie we were talking about a month ago? There was this movie at... I thought it was your show.
It was us, yes.
Yeah, and then the next show talked about it.
People versus the State of Illusion.
Yeah, did you end up...
I never got to see it.
I haven't either yet.
I really want to see it.
I know people that have seen it, and they love it.
Yes.
They said it's fantastic. They go back and and back. Is it still playing, do you know?
I don't know.
I don't either. We'll have to check on the break.
Yes.
Tom doesn't know. All right, maybe we'll ask him to find out.
Yes.
We want to get the writer or the producer on the show, right?
Yes.
The director or whoever it is. Oh, that is so cool. So we're talking about communication. So basic feelings.
We don't want to be stuffing these feelings because they don't go away. It's like that's what I mean by the bologna sandwich in the backseat of the car. It doesn't go away.
It
just
gets worse.
Uglier and uglier and uglier. Yes.
Until you have to buy a new car.
Yes. And so I'm always encouraging to people because I say to them, I know you don't want to feel the feeling. But if you feel the feeling when you need to feel it, it won't last as long. And feelings in their purest state, they have done studies on this as well, last 20 minutes. Can't last longer than 20 minutes.
Really?
Yes. And so now I can complicate the feeling and it can turn into other feelings that keep me having feelings. But if you've ever been with someone that is really, really angry or really, really sad, really, really hurt, you see it always go in waves. And so they can only feel the feeling for no longer than about 20 minutes. Our physiology won't let us because it protects us. And so when you're seeing someone grieving, they'll be crying and crying and crying, and then it will subside a little bit. They'll take a little break, not knowing that that's what their body is doing for them. And then it'll start all over again. They'll release a little bit more. It's the same way with people that get really angry. If you let them express it, then it usually goes in about 20 minutes. Now, if it's a big enough event, they may cycle through another couple of 20 minutes for a while.
Yeah.
But it isn't one of these things when people say to me, well, if I let myself cry, I'll never stop crying. I say, yes, yes, you will.
Is that what the fear is with people?
Many times, yeah. Or if I really let myself acknowledge how angry I am, I won't ever stop being angry. And so what we find with our bodies, with our psyche, is that it is designed to help us and protect us. And so with feelings, it helps us manage our feelings if we will use it.
So that's good advice. Although as we go through this, there's probably ways you can take maybe the fear out of feeling the feeling,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of managing it.
Yes.
Because if you can get rid of the fear and you know how to maintain control over it's less scary,
that's
and then
right.
it can dissipate.
Right.
Oh, that is very nice. And when we
yes.
come back from our break,
like
we'll,
that.
Yeah, let's talk more about that. And we're here with Cynthia Hyatt, star of Match No Match, talking about how to manage feelings. Very, very important, especially, well, not especially, but if you're in a relationship just with yourself, you better know how to manage it. Life will get much better if you do. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt, a most incredible therapist, I got to say.
Thank you.
This is phenomenal. I think Tom's getting much-needed help, and he's agreeing with that. Okay, now we were talking about managing feelings. Let's talk of what this can do for people. Of course, directly stating your feelings can solve problems.
Yes. It's not a guarantee.
But people want to solve problems.
But we know that if we don't discuss our feelings, the problem will not get solved. We know.
Yeah, and that's important. Now, women more than men say men don't have feelings.
Right.
Why don't you comment? What does that mean?
Well,
No.
In fact, what we really do know about men is that they are very emotional and they are very sensitive. Mm. And they have just as much emotion as women do. They work through it differently, and they don't express it as the same as women do. One of the things that the way that men are made is they are kind of hardwired to not wear their heart on their sleeves, and some of that is a protective mechanism that is built into the male persona because it makes them good at being a warrior and a protector and provider, and you don't want to be showing a whole lot of emotion if you're dealing with the enemy. And so their makeup is not made to be super expressive. Now, that doesn't mean they can't be, and it doesn't mean they cannot learn to be, but our culture also teaches men not to express feelings unless it's an angry feeling.
So we should go back to rule one for women who want to judge that and
right.
say, wait, there's no judging of that feeling. That's
right.
just how they do it.
Right. And one of the ways that, we express feelings and know that someone's having a feeling is if they verbalize it. Well, we also know that women are highly verbal, and they are better able to articulate how they feel, and they're better able to articulate what it is they're feeling something about, which looks like they're more emotional.
Right.
Because they're better able to talk about it.
That totally makes sense. And but I like that. If you, neither good or bad. I mean, going back a little bit. So when people are doing this, take that advice, because it will.
You don't want to judge a man simply because he's not showing that feeling.
Right.
On the outside, does not. You don't want to judge that and assume that he's not feeling something very deeply and very profoundly on the inside.
And if you do, it could trigger more feelings.
Well, it harms them.
Yeah,
is what it does. And so one of the things that we do in therapy is we help men better able to express them and articulate them, so that they are better understood.
Oh, that's so good.
So they might say something like, you know, I know I'm not looking like I'm happy, or I'm not looking like I'm really touched by this, but I really am. Inside of me, I have a really big feeling.
And that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Very good communication tools. Now, the way out is through.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what that means is the way out of a feeling is to go through it. So I wish I could go around it, under it, over it. There's a lot of feelings I don't necessarily want to feel. But
go through it.
Yes. The fastest way to get through, the fastest way to get over a feeling is through it.
And that's really, would you even go as far as to say embracing it, basically?
Absolutely.
And not fighting with it?
Absolutely. Yes, because if I'm willing to feel the feeling, that my emotional realm is going to help me do it.
Mm.
When I'm fighting it, because I don't want to feel it.
Gotcha.
Then
so
it's
bring
either
it
gonna
out.
Get, yeah, it's either going to get bigger, or it's going to be sublimated, you know, it's going to be repressed, or it's going to turn into something different. You know, and so I'm going to have a more complication. If I just accept the fact that I have a feeling and I'm willing to just feel it, it causes me to be a stronger person, more authentic person, a more resilient person. My self-worth is stronger. And there's many, many benefits physically. We know that if we don't feel feelings and people repress a lot of their emotions, we have all kinds of physical complaints that happen. Headaches,
yeah.
Backaches, yeah. IBS issues, higher cholesterol. You know, heart disease, all these kinds of things.
Really?
Yes, that when you hold, especially anger, when you hold in anger and rage, it attacks your body like a poison.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well,
very valuable.
Think about, well, if you trigger the fight or flight system in your brain, which is in the limbic system, and that's the survival, so it sends out a ton of adrenaline. Well, adrenaline is intended for you to either run for 5 miles or pick a car up to get a child out from underneath a car. Well, if you don't use that adrenaline, where is it going to go? Your body has to now absorb it.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense, logically.
And so one of the things we have a hard time with in our day and age is we don't have ways to express feelings. I mean, if you think back 100 years ago, maybe men were working on the farm. They were building things. There was more, you know, hard labor. Well, if they got mad, they went out and did stuff.
Yeah.
They were pounded on something all day, or they were digging something all day, or they were pushing a plow all day. And by the time they got home, a lot of that feeling might have dissipated.
Wow. See, that's valuable, too. And now, would you recommend, when you say the way out is through and you know, embrace it and things like that so you don't fight against it, is it recommended to have someone like yourself sort of coach people through this, or with
I think
therapy?
Initially, if people are having a hard time knowing how to express their feelings,
because I bet a lot of people don't, and they might need some help, like some like a coach or a therapist or someone to help them. And what are some of the ways? Obviously, yourself, and how about books or workshops? I mean, what are ways?
Well, there's lots of things that you can go and you can learn different ways to express your feelings. But one of the easiest ways is to journal.
Oh.
And nobody likes to journal. I admit I don't like to journal either. But it's a phenomenal way for me to start to really understand what I'm really feeling. Mm-hmm. And it gets it out of me. And so then it's not in me anymore. Another thing is I tell people, talk to yourself. When you know, walk around the house and have the conversation with the person that you'd like to have. Just have it. Say everything you want to say. Pretend like they're right there in front of you. Get all that feeling out. Yell at the person, scream at the person, you know, cuss at the person if you need to do that.
That's so that if when they're not there, though.
That's right. Okay. This is what I'm saying is you're pretending like they're there so that you can get all of that emotion out. Then when you go to talk to them, you have a much more salient concept of what you're angry with. and you're better able to articulate it because you've got it crystallized. You've distilled it down to the main point.
It's not clouded by emotion.
Right. Like you're not like going running off at the mouth for 25 minutes. You've
Which
already
happens.
Done that. Well, you've already
yeah.
done that. So you want, you know, that's a very helpful thing to just get those feelings out if I'll just let myself talk.
Well, that's, those are good, two
yeah, and
good
I, and
techniques.
This, and I say to people, you can do it in your car because everybody's just going to think you're on your cell phone.
That's
Where it
right.
used to be years ago, people would be like, they're talking to themselves.
Yeah, now they
now
don't.
Now they won't even think you're talking to
then
yourself.
Then with the Bluetooth, people
that's
still
right.
think you're talking
yeah.
to yourself.
But see, nobody cares anymore because everyone thinks they're just talking on the phone.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Do you have a Bluetooth? Yeah, you
yes,
do.
Yes, I do.
Do you ever use it like in a grocery store and people think you're talking to them?
Sometimes, but I talk pretty softly.
You do?
Mm-hmm. So people don't generally hear me.
Wow. Yes, I get that all the time. So, but I don't talk that softly. So they think I'm talking to them. They
right.
go, what did you just say?
Right.
I said, I'm expressing my feelings towards someone else. Sorry, it's not you. Oh, you got the same name?
Right.
Got in major trouble once on that one. But, okay, now what we resist runs us,
right.
you're talking about.
Right.
Or what you resist persists.
Right, exactly. I know, I like that.
I'm a poet, I don't know it. Okay.
Because what we find is that feeling, because you have to remember feelings are energy. And they are made up of a lot of different hormones and enzymes and amino acids or whatever. I'm not a chemist. So they are energy that has to be somehow dissipated.
Released, right?
Yes, released. And so if I don't, then I start to use a whole bunch of other energy to resist that energy.
Oh,
that
energy buildup.
Yes. And so people get very tired and very depressed, very weary.
That makes sense.
Because it takes a lot of energy to hold, resist, and push down feelings and run away from a feeling. If you're running away from a feeling, you can't. It's like running away from your shadow.
You can't.
No, it just follows you everywhere.
You can't outrun your feelings.
That's right.
Even though people try.
They do.
That was a profound statement.
I know. It's written on the notes.
No wonder. I'm a good reader. What can I say? I improvised. But so this is very important. And so if you see people running out of energy,
mm-hmm.
being depressed, perhaps, not conclusively, they might be fighting a bunch of internal stuff going on.
They may have a whole bunch of unresolved feelings.
Wow.
Yes.
So it's easy. One way to find yourself, or if you want to feel better, is to learn these techniques on how to really embrace your feelings.
Well, and see, this is one of the reasons that, and I will say to clients, they come in and they're in a very bad place when they come into my office. We process through the whole thing. They talk for 50 minutes. And they're like, I feel so much better. And I say to them, and isn't that interesting? Because nothing changed really in your life. The thing that changed was you resolved some of your feelings and you got your feelings out.
And what do they say about
that
then,
point? And they recognize how important it is to do that. Because the situation may not have changed. The world outside didn't change. Everything is the same as when they walked in. But their internal world is different.
Now, does that work? Is that with couples or just individuals?
Both.
That
come in? Oh, both.
So couples, they can, and then do you direct them like an orchestra leader if one of them starts to judge the other person's
Absolutely.
Feelings? So you're there like as the traffic
Absolutely.
Person.
Yes.
Police officer
yes.
type.
Yes, I will stop conversation several times, especially if I think it's going to harm the person. I will say, you know, you don't want to start saying that. So I'm going to stop you from talking like that because you're going to create a new problem for us.
And do they usually listen?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Yes.
But I like how you said that. You said it with authority. Well, did you know that's what you did? That was very good.
Yes. Well, I do use authority when I'm in sessions with people.
Does that work with everyone?
Well,
or do you have a
You want to remember that I'm having a relationship with them, and they trust me.
Yeah.
And they also know I'm their advocate, and I'm on their side. And so
that
when
makes
I
a difference,
when
yeah.
I sternly redirect somebody, I'm matching their energy in some ways. And so they are also knowing that I'm doing that to protect them and another person, and I'm wanting them to be successful. So I'm not just being authoritative for the sake of being authoritative.
No, but that's great. That's a great skill. Because the truth is, if you can use that effectively to help someone, then that is a skill set. That's
well, it makes them safe, and it makes the world around them safer.
Wow, because I noticed how you just said that live mm-hmm. on the air, and I go, that is good. I would be listening
to
you.
She sounds so nice all the other times.
No, you sounded, you always sound nice, but that was like, you were totally in sync, like this is what's going to help.
Right.
And I'm not going to entertain any debates on this.
That's right.
And it makes sense. I use that sometimes as a CPA, like, wait, who has experience here?
Right.
I know what's best.
Right.
And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt, star of Match No Match. We're talking about managing feelings. Very important for communication, for relationships, and to have a better life. We'll be right back.
This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.